is from the book of Joshua, chapter 10. And if you've never read the story, it's awesome. And Joshua prays an audacious prayer. And I don't know about, it's tough because this week we have been praying and praying and praying audaciously for a friend of ours' daughter. Her name is Calla, and I've asked you guys to pray for her. And she had cancer, and she's 9, and she passed away this week. So I'm going to preach this morning on prayer. But that's okay. And I think we can learn some things from Joshua, and we can learn some things about prayer, and I don't always understand how or why it works, but I know this. God loves us, and he wants to talk with us, and he wants us to ask. And that's all we can trust, is that he wants us to ask, and he wants us to keep asking. And so we will keep asking. And Calla won't feel any pain anymore, and she's with Jesus, and there's comfort in that. But we are 2 weeks into our series called Courageous Warrior. You have to listen close and follow along in your Bibles because there's no slides today. In this series, we are stressing a couple things. First one is that God is the courageous warrior. And that, two, God is calling us to be courageous warriors. In fact, when we realize who we are as God's children, then we realize our God-given identities are as courageous warriors. And last week we talked about that and how even though God has already won the war, God is asking us to take up his weapons and armor and stand firm, to hold our ground and to fight. That is why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So today we are looking at this amazing story in the book of Joshua. The story is miraculous. The story is supernatural. The story is revealing about the nature of God. And this story says a little about our faith and a lot more about God's faithfulness. So if you have a Bible, there should be one under your seat there, or the seat in front of you. Turn to Joshua chapter 10. This morning I'm going to do something a little bit different. This morning I'm going to tell you right off the bat the whole point of this sermon. Really, this sermon really only has one point. And it's this: as courageous warriors, we can approach the throne of God in confidence. So chapter 10 starts off kind of like chapter 9 did. You know, we talked last week about the Gibeonites, and in chapter 9 they knew God's people were fighting and conquering people everywhere. And so the Gibeonites, they devised a plan to trick the Israelites and become their allies. So chapter 10 kind of starts off that way. Here, this Everyone, Zedek, the king of Jerusalem, knew that God's people were fighting and conquering people everywhere. So he went out and called four other kings to band together and fight God's people together as one army, kind of like a super army. They had heard about the Gibeonites' peace treaty with Israelites, and this newly formed super army made a move to attack the Gibeonites, the people from chapter 9. So I'll pick it up from Joshua chapter 10, verses 5 through 8. It says this: "So these five Amorite kings combined their armies for a united attack. They moved all their troops into place and attacked Gibeon. The men of Gibeon quickly sent messengers to Joshua at his camp in Gilgal and says, 'Don't abandon your servants now,' they pleaded. 'Come at once, save us, help us. For all the Amorite kings who live in the hill country, they have joined forces to attack us.' So Joshua and his entire army, including his best warriors, left Gilgal and set out for Gibeon. 'Do not be afraid of them,' the Lord said to Joshua, 'for I have given you victory over them. Not a single one of them will be able to stand up against you.'" So you remember when we started looking back, way back, when we started looking at the book of Joshua? This is the beginning of the year. And we talked about how Joshua 1, we have slides. Joshua 1, 6 through 9 is God's commissioning. It's his charge to Joshua. So verses 1, 6 through 9 says, "Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything that is written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So we talked about covenants last week. And the whole point of the story was that when God makes a promise, he keeps it. And that is true in that story. It isn't true in this story. It isn't true in every story. God keeps his promises. Always. Without fail. 100% of the time. God keeps his promises. And I'm sure that you have heard that a lot now. I know I've said it a ton. And I'm sure that people have stood up here before me and said that as well. God keeps his promises. And perhaps you believe that. Perhaps you believe that God will do what he says he will. Maybe your question is not whether he will or not, but maybe your question is, but how do I know what he has promised? How do I know what God is promising me? Couple things. 1 John 4:10 says, "This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." Acts 17:27, "His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us." Does that sound like something? God loves us. His purpose was for people to find him. So because of that, he isn't far away. Jesus said that he leaves the 99 to search after the one. Does that sound like God wants a relationship with you? God wants us to pray. He wants us to commune with him. He wants us to go to him with everything. He wants us to talk with him and us to actually listen for him to talk back to us. Prayer is not supposed to be us talking to a brick wall. That's not what prayer is supposed to be. Prayer is supposed to be the marker of a relationship where we pour our hearts out to God and then we stop and we listen for what God is saying back to us. And it may not be right there, right then, but God will work His way into your life in such a way that you will hear and know what God is saying to you. And like a good father, God keeps His promises. We just have to ask. It takes a relationship with God to know what His promises are. So here in Joshua, God has promised Joshua that he and the Israelites are going to win. "I have given them to you," he said. So last week we talked about John 5:19. And Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son of Man can do nothing by Himself. He does only what He sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." The people of Gibeon, the ones that tricked the Israelites into making a peace treaty with them, they are under attack. So just as God has always kept His promises to the Israelites, so the Israelites were to keep their promises to other people. They were doing what they saw God doing. Does that make sense? The Gibeonites tricked them, yes, but the Israelites promised that they would be their people. And at that they had to risk it all for them, even though it was just a newly formed relationship. For the Gibeonites, they didn't really deserve it. For the Gibeonites, that they had tricked and lied their way into this treaty. But the Israelites wanted to honor God because God had always honored them. And so they kept their promise. And we talked last week about do you live your life in such a way that when someone who is far from God looks at your life, they see that there is a great power at work. In order for people to see that there is a great power at work in your life, you have to have a close relationship to the Father. You have to. And when you have a close relationship with the Father, you live differently. Your values are different. You repay those that mistreat you with kindness. All because I know, and you know, what the Father has done for you. Because as courageous warriors that we can approach the throne of God with confidence. Because of that, God wants us to pray audacious prayers. God wants us to pray audacious prayers. So Joshua keeps his promise to the Gibeonites. He does. They get word that they're being attacked. And so Joshua and his army, they ride hard all night long to get to the Gibeonites. And they surprise the Amorites. And it's cool if you read the rest of the story that God then throws them into a panic and they start turning on each other and they get confused and the Amorites are just on all this disarray, and they start running. And then what's really cool is that God then throws hail at them. And this hail isn't like, oh, a little piece. It's like, boom, like big chunks of ice come falling from the sky only on the Amorites. And they are being killed in the droves. It says that the hail killed more people, more soldiers than the army did. But finally, Joshua catches up to him and he starts fighting with the Amorite armies, the super army, these five armies that have joined together. And they are fighting and they're fighting and they're winning. But Joshua can see the sun starting to go down. He sees it's getting late. He sees that if they wait till dawn, there's no promise of what's going to happen. So what does Joshua do? I'm sure what you or I would do. Verse 12, all right? This is awesome. On the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. He said, "Let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies. Isn't that a great story? Listen, Joshua knew God's will. Joshua knew that he had been promised a victory. He knew that he was firmly in the center of God's will. So what did he do? He prayed an audacious prayer. He prayed a prayer that was bold. That's pretty bold, right? Asking God to make the sun stop. That's a pretty bold prayer. And it was surprising. And he prayed the sun was still until the Amorites were finished. And what happened? God answered. When I was growing up, I had a youth minister. His name was Brant. Youth ministers that time, and still, they didn't make very much money. Anyway, he quit being youth minister, and he moved into a profession that made even less money, and that was radio. And he does Christian radio, and he's now like big famous Christian radio guy. But then he wasn't. And he was in Southern Florida, and he was being syndicated, and he was working at this radio station, and he had a 3-hour show, but at the same time, he was working in Christian radio, and he didn't get paid very much. And so for several years, he and his two kids and his wife, they all lived in Southern Florida with kind of a jalopy car, right? Jalopy? It was a used kind of beater. And I remember him telling me, he said, "You know, Sobek, one day, I just said, I've got two kids, they're both in junior high. We're living on one car. We live in Southern Florida. We live in paradise, right? And I remember one day, I was running." So you know he's not me, because I don't run. But he's like, I was running, and I was praying, and I just said, "You know what? God, I keep driving this beater, and I keep getting it fixed, and all this." He said, "God, I live in Florida. God, I would really like it if you could just give me somehow a convertible." And so he said, I started praying this prayer, and I'm praying, and I'm saying, I would love to be able to see my kid's face, and I love a red convertible, God. And he said, I just prayed. I said, he just put it out there. God, I want a red convertible. I don't know how that can happen. We don't have the money for it. I don't know. I have any idea. But God, I would love a red convertible. And that's an audacious prayer. That's a crazy prayer, right? He says, wouldn't you know it, a couple weeks later, he's one of those crazy stories, right? A friend of mine from church, he said, he knew that I only had one car, and he said, "Hey, I want to give you a car. I just have it sit in my driveway. We don't drive it ever. It's not like a brand new car, but it's nice, and the air conditioner works, and all that. It's a nice little car. Would you like it?" And Brant's like, "Yeah, of course." And he said he pulled it up, and what did you know? It was red. It was a convertible. Guys, God wants us to pray audaciously. Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I guess the moral of the story would be like, we should all pray for red convertibles, right? I mean, that's not what I'm saying. But here's the Matthew 7:7-11 says this. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Your parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you instead give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who seek him? I'm not saying we need to pray for red convertibles. And I'm not saying that we should be praying for some sort of prosperity gospel prayer, right? Where, God, I need a Learjet to get around to preach to people. Or I need $1 million because you want to bless me. That's not what I'm saying that we should be praying. That's not our audacious prayers. No, what I guess I'm saying is that it is okay to pray for some specific things. And if you are asking for what is in the center of God's will, then he will help you. He will give them to you. You and I are God's children. He specifically cares for us. You and you and you and you and you and you and me. God loves us. We're his children. And he wants to give us good things. This all stems from a relationship with Jesus. A relationship with Jesus is how we know when something is God's will or not. God's written word, the Bible, it lists the many promises that God has made us. Two of those promises in the Bible were this. They were prophesied about. Emmanuel. Right, we talk about Emmanuel during Christmas, right? What do you know what it means? God with us. And that happened. That promise was answered, right? God came and he lived among us. And in fact, he loved us so much that he spread his arms and he took the punishment for us, right? Emmanuel, that promise has been answered. God always keeps his promises. And then Jesus, while he was here, he was Emmanuel. He said this. He said, there is coming a time where I'm going to leave this place. And there will be a better gift than Emmanuel. Anybody know what that was? It's a Greek word called pneuma. And that word means spirit. And that word is that I am going to be leaving this place, but that's okay because I am leaving for you something greater. And that's not my presence here on earth, but that is my presence in you. My presence in you. See, Jesus came to earth and he lived among us and he was with us and he communed with us. But now we get to have God live in us, in your heart. And you get to walk with him, and you get to talk with him. You get to spend time with him. Pneuma. Two promises that God made. And because of that pneuma, that God is in us, this is how we know God's will. That the very Spirit of God lives in you and he talks to you and he tells you what his will is. So this morning we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to pray some audacious prayers. This morning we're going to pray some specific prayers. We're going to approach the throne room with confidence and that God would answer his children. So I want you to pray for some specific things this morning. We're just going to take a few minutes, okay? I know it's weird. I'm sorry. First thing I want to pray for, the first person I want to pray for is Izzy. I know most of you guys know who Izzy is now, or you've heard of her. It's Suzanne Witt's granddaughter. And she just had a tumor removed. It was 6 inches long. In fact, Suzanne sent me a picture of it, which I'm like, I don't really need a picture of the tumor, but she sent it to me anyway. A 6-inch tumor. They're waiting for pathology to come back and figure out what it is. But they removed that. So here's our audacious prayer this morning. We're going to pray for Izzy. And we are going to pray that all traces of cancer would be gone. That there would be there. If there is cancer in your, it would just be gone. And that this surgery would be what was needed to fix it. That's what we're going to pray. Let's pray. God, we just pray for Izzy right now. You are holy. You are mighty. You hold this world in your hands. We know that you can take care of little Izzy. So audaciously, God, we ask that without any further anything, God, that you would take care of her. Heal her. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you would heal her. Make her well. And that there would be nothing, no trace of anything within her. And that it would be only explained by you and your power. And that you made the sun stand still. You can take care of her. We pray for her, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. We're going to pray for my mother-in-law. Sorry, it's selfish, I guess. I'm taking Heather and the family up. We're going to drive today. We're going to drive all night. We're going to drop the camper off. I'm going to fly back on Wednesday. They're going to spend 3 weeks there. I'm going to spend some time there on the back end. My mother-in-law's heart is functioning at 30%. It's not well. And there's some things that doctors can do to help, and hopefully they'll work, and Katie will be around for a long time. But we're going to pray. And we're going to pray audaciously that Katie would be healed. So join me, if you would. God, we just pray for Katie. We pray that in the name of Jesus, you would heal her. That in the name of Jesus, you would make her well, Father, and that her heart would inexplicably start to recover and start to function properly. And that there would be many years left for her. God, we pray your healing hand would touch her. We pray that you would make things well with her so she can be around for a long, long time. We love you, and we ask that you would just be with her and let her know that she is loved. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to pray for, I didn't ask permission for this. Sorry, Tim. But we're going to pray for Tim's dad. Tim's dad is battling cancer as well. And cancer's horrible. Goodness. But cancer cannot stand up to the power of God, right? And so we're just going to pray that Tim's dad, Dave, would be totally healed. And that the power of Jesus would heal him. and that would be in the center of God's will. So let's pray for David. God, we pray for David Kerr. And we pray that you would just heal him, make him well. That you would make the cancer leave. And that he would have the strength that it takes to get through treatments. And that he would be able to live a much longer life. One that is not filled with sickness. One that is not stricken with grief. But Father, one that is clear. And that that by the power of your blood, by the power of Jesus, that you would just make him well. That treatments could stop and that they would realize that this is gone. We know that you have the power to do that, and so we ask for you to do that, please, God. We ask for complete healing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I got one more, and that's for whatever it is that you need prayer for in your life. If there was somebody that you were like, man, I wish Sobek would have prayed for this person, we're going to pray for that person. Or man, I need some prayer in my life. I need something audacious, something to happen. Because right now, things aren't going right. And as God's children, we are going to cling to the fact that he loves us and he wants the best for us. And his will is to not cause us harm. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, guys. I want to pray expectantly that it will happen. But God's will is God's will, and God's will is sometimes is I don't get it. But we're going to ask anyway. God, we just pray right now that you would work some miracles in some lives. You work some miracles in the lives of children that need to know you, or children that need to know peace, or parents that need to know Jesus, or just people that need to know that you love them and care for them, and you are not their enemy. God, we just pray for some miracles to happen in people's lives. We know that you want the best. Father, may we be in tune with you and what your will is for our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And the last thing is, and I'll be done, is that God still expects hard work. Verse 13 says, "So the sun stood still, and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies." It is an event not recorded in the book of Jasher. The sun stayed in the middle of the sky, and it did not set on as a normal day. There has never been a day like this one before or since when the Lord answered such a prayer. Surely the Lord fought for Israel that day. I guess the point is, if you're going to pray for the sun to stand still, you better be ready to march all night long. Again, we do not do anything that we don't see the Father doing. We want to tirelessly work at sharing the love of Jesus with a world that desperately needs him. We want to continually show the Father's love to everyone we come in contact with. We want to frequently go the extra mile, to walk the extra mile in somebody's shoes. We want to do that. God has modeled this over and over. Jesus gave and gave and gave until he gave it all. We want to love people like that. We want to pray for people like that. Jesus told a story about this guy that was knocking on the door in the midnight. He said, "Hey, I had guests come over. I need some food. I don't have any food, but I got to entertain these people. Can you give me some?" And he said, "This master said, 'Listen, it's midnight. We're asleep. Come back in the morning. No, I need some food. Give it to me. Give it to me. So he said, finally, he answered. That's the way prayer is supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to work. We, God's children, knock continually. We keep asking until we can ask no more. And perhaps that is something you need to hear this morning. Perhaps you've almost given up on your kid. Perhaps you've almost given up on your relative. Perhaps you've almost given up on your friend or your parent. Whatever, keep knocking. Keep praying. And don't pray weak prayers. Pray prayers that ask for the world, because God is a healthy, loving, awesome Father that wants to give you what you ask for. Keep asking. Don't give up. Don't give up. You know, we prayed for Calum, and it didn't have the result that we wanted. But we kept asking anyway. And when things looked bleak, we kept asking anyway. And I don't know what God's will is or was in that situation, but I know this. God was glorified. He was glorified by that little girl. That little girl is now in the Father's arms. And I don't get it. I don't get why she's not here. But that's not my job. My job was to keep asking. And your job is to keep asking. Keep asking. Father is good, and He wants to give you what you want.